I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
How have I been this successful in life?
Welcome to another edition of the MMA Analysis Podcast. Thanks for joining us, folks. It's going to be just as much of a slog for you tonight and this weekend as it is for us. Sean, just the two of us tonight. We can make some money if we try. It's going to take some work, though. There's some hunting. We're starting a couple minutes late today because we literally had to go through the entire card, not only to find something that we agreed on, but just to like find something worth even thinking about betting. So thoughts on the big UFC on ESPN, hard stop, 55?
I believe it is, yes. ESPN 55. We've come a long way in those 55 events on full ESPN. We are in the purgatory of post UFC 300. We have to suffer. We have to suffer. It's going to be rough. And the hilarious thing is, of course, you need to put a pay-per-view, you know, 3 weeks after UFC 300, because why not? So, of course, that one's going to be interesting as well. Still, there's going to be fun fights on that card, on that pay-per-view card. Some fans of the MMA analysis on that one. But yeah. I don't know how you could justify paying for that pay-per-view.
When does the ESPN deal come up?
I believe it is at the end of this year. Yes.
I'm very curious to see how that goes, because like sports rights in general they've kind of plateaued or are starting to take a little downturn. And man, some of these, like, this is on ESPN. This might do a lower rating than the NLL playoff games that are this weekend on ESPNU. It's not good. Thank you, LR. End of 25, our learned listener, LR, says, as far as the ESPN rights, so...
Says the window for the UFC to ink a new broadcast rights officially opens 2025.
So they probably have like the ability to negotiate throughout that year, which would be the last year of their deal, I would guess.
Yeah, to like extend it or something.
Yeah that makes sense. And there's no such thing as a non-compete clause anymore in the US, allegedly. So we'll see if that matters at all to the UFC on the fighter side or to UFC and ESPN on the broadcast side. I think we both know the answer, and you are indicating it with a vigorous that was a subtle shake of the head, not a nod, a shake. But yeah, I don't know if this is just like the UFC being like, hey, we stacked UFC 300 and there's, you know, everyone wants to fight, so there's nobody left to fight anymore. Or if it's, there's hockey playoffs, there's basketball playoffs, obviously NLL playoffs, huge draw. So I don't know if they're just like, people aren't watching UFC this weekend anyway, so why bother putting on a card that matters? We're just trying to fill a time slot on ESPN. And this card certainly accomplishes that. I don't think we have much in the way of news or anything like that we need to talk about. So let's just hop into our 13 fight slate that's coming up this weekend. I apologize for anybody that's watching. If you see me like grimace just out of nowhere, It's not from anything Sean said, although it might be. I'm old.
Some of these bets.
And my body is busted. I'm dealing with a little bit of a pull down in one of the lower extremities, to use the puck playoffs terminology. Can't give too much away, you know? You got to keep them guessing as to what's going on down there. But anyway, we are starting it off in the lightweight division. We've got Gabriel Mowgli Benitez taking on Damashete. Sean.
This should be kind of dumb fun, I think. I think Benitez has got to get the grapple game going. He doesn't really use it too much. But against this guy, I think that's his best path to victory. I think he probably gets beat up decent amount on the feet. So if he can scramble and get this guy down, then I think that swings a lot more in his favor. I'll pick him to win. I don't think I'm going to bet it. I'll be, like I said, take him in Toutmaster. It's not a terrible first fight on the card, considering the next bunch of fights that are coming up. I guess I just wanted some people to get in the door and not just skip the first 2 hours.
And it'll get the dozens of people in attendance really rocking and rolling, you know?
Yeah.
And then they'll kick all of the family members out of the seats because they need to recycle them for the fighters that are later on the card. Anyway, Benitez might just get melted early because he's old and was never great. I just think this line is really wide for a guy who doesn't know how to grapple at all in Machete. I think I might end up taking Benitez here. I don't love it by any means. Like, he's not an outright grappler, but he definitely has a grappling advantage in this one. And if he avoids that big shot early, I think he's going to make this pretty difficult for the old Machete. So, Toutmaster pick for sure. I should have opened the Toutmaster tab. I'll do that at some point and give a little update. Maybe a bet if I get desperate, but honestly, there's so much going on this weekend that I'm not in a position where I need to force any bets on a bad UFC card. So we'll see. Might be a light card for both of us this weekend. Next up, women's flyweight division. Ivana Petrovic, and I agree, I do, if they all look like that. Taking on Na Liang. It's always fun.
I mean, she's usually getting her ass kicked. That being said, this chick who lost to Luana Carolina probably shouldn't be minus 400, minus 500 to anybody, even if she is as bad as Na Liang. This card is brutal to keep some interest on the prelims or early on in the night. I might throw a little half dart, half unit dart on Na Liang round one, because I think that is her only path to victory, and it's plus 800. Why not?
Honestly, this seems primed for a round one armbar from guard. This is just, this fight is begging for it. When Bet365 opens their props, or some of the other books open their props that have the exact method, maybe I'll take a little peek at what the round one sub is. And if the number is ridiculous enough, that either is round robinable or something you can just throw, you know, $25 on, have a good time. But man, sure, we'll do a Toutmaster pick as well. Next up, back to the lightweight division. James Yontop taking on Chris Padilla. You see when there's the two L's together? It's a Y, I think.
Interesting.
For both these dudes.
Interesting. I don't know who these men are. I probably should know who Lontop is Yontop. But yeah, I don't remember him from Contender Series. Went to a decision. Still got a contract because he is a living, breathing person. I will pick Yontop because he's my 450. So hopefully these people who are betting him know who he is, because that seems like a big number.
Well, Chris Padilla has a win over UFC veteran Justin James.
I did see that.
His last fight out. So, you know, big competition. I didn't even mention when I was talking about Gabriel Benitez that I'm thinking of betting a guy whose wins, all of his wins in the last 5 years, are Charlie Ontiveros and Justin James. So that always makes one feel good and confident about the bets that they're making. Yeah, this is also like the third fight that Yontop is supposed to have on this card. The other guys that got pulled were actual real fighters, memory serves correct.
Venata and Gabe Green.
Venata and Green. So obviously they think something of him to have him matched up with, you know, two respectable fighters. And now he's taking a big step down in a late replacement regional scene guy. So what are we looking at for totals in this one? Oh, nothing, because it's so new.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, it'll probably will be a little bit juiced to the over on a 1.5, but the 2.5s are out there.
What? Do I just need a refresh?
You do. Maybe they just dropped it. I don't know. But over 2.5 is plus 140.
Yeah, nothing that I love. We'll keep it moving on to the next one. Excuse me. Women's strawweight division, Ketlyn Souza. When we were talking about this before the show, I think I mistakenly said I know who Ketlyn Souza is.
You do not.
Because I thought it was Ketlyn Vieira, who I know who it is. I do not know who Ketlyn Souza is, nor who Marnik Mann is, but they are allegedly fighting in the women's strawweight division. Probably a title eliminator. Who could possibly know?
Oh, this is interesting. You got a chick who got subbed out in 1:45, and she is a -350 favorite to a chick that's 0-2. Getting finished and getting outstruck 81-8 in the other fight that went to a decision. This is pretty bad. Women's MMA, terrible women's MMA. Pick the dog. I will not be betting it because I have a little bit of self-respect. Not that much, but a little.
Question.
Hmm.
Do we know what Ketlyn Souza's nickname translates to?
Because get on the machine.
Because Marnik Mann's nickname, the sawed off savage, you don't want to mess with that.
It's masculine. Yeah. Oh, hot headed.
Hot
headed.
Apparently, it might also just mean warm.
Mm.
Ketlyn Souza. She's a warm body, so she's in the UFC. It all makes sense now. Warm body -350 in the UFC. This is like, so we're looking at Nolly Yang round one sub in that round robin. We might have to look at some Marnik Mann, sawed off savage in the round robin as well, because these prices on these fighters are just absurd. Next up, other end of the scale, heavyweight division. Don't ask, don't tell Mays. Kyle Machado minus 300 to the fatties on this one, Sean. What are we doing here?
Super fatties minus 170. What are we doing here? I really hope that is wrong. Because 15 minutes of this torture would be way, way too much. I almost just want to play the contrarian. I mean, it's shitty heavyweights. Somebody could just run into a knockout, right? I mean, these guys are not good. But yeah, it's a juiced up probably for a reason. I might throw a dart on the under. I really don't care who wins. I guess I'll take.
It doesn't matter who wins, honestly. I mean, like, the winner gets an extra 12K or whatever, and the loser doesn't. And that is literally the only consequence of this fight.
Yeah.
You know, you're not cutting heavyweights.
Nope.
They need, everyone loves the heavyweights. They got to keep them on the roster. I might join you. I mean, if we're looking for another round robin leg, under 1.5 in a heavyweight fight, plus 220 or whatever it opens when it's widely available, that's... I'm sorry, Jeff. I will not endorse a minus 300 fatty's gonna fatty in this one.
That is not a fatty's gonna fatty. It is reverse.
The whole point of the fatty's gonna fatty bet is that you get the plus money, or even, you know, around even money is fine too,
yeah.
Or you get the quick finish. So you're compensated for suffering through the shitty heavyweights. Now you gotta lay the absolute jamba juice out of the world to get the fatties price. And I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to lose minus 300 on a fatties in this fight. And also lose. I don't know. It's awful. It's horrible. Whenever Sean opens up the Toutmaster sheets, if one of them is worth slightly more than 1 point, I will pick that fella. It is kind of interesting that, like, Mays is ranked that much higher than Machado, but it's a pick 'em. Who knows? Anyway, lightweight division. Austin Thud Hubbard, the Thuddard, taking on Michal Figlak, formerly a semi-highly touted prospect, who just didn't really look great in his UFC debut, and now has been out for almost 2 years. Fascinating stuff, Sean.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you had mentioned that, you know, he had a little bit of hype coming in, and Zion just shut that down. Would I be surprised if Austin Hubbard's able to grapple his way to a kind of a boring 3-round decision? I wouldn't. Long layoff. I think Hubbard's got a decent grappling advantage. I'll pick him without Master. I don't think I can bet Austin Hubbard, though.
I think I'm going to pick Figlak. Hubbard's skill is being durable. It's not actually a skill.
Not at this weight class, anyway.
Yeah. I just think this is another fight where he hangs around, makes it competitive because he's tough and is willing to go forward a little bit, but is eventually overmatched. I have no interest in betting Figlak here at minus 170, though. So we will keep it rolling. Bantamweight division. This isn't necessarily a good fight. It could, in fact, turn out to be a sad fight. But at least there's, like, something at play here. Like, we know Hani Yahya can grapple. We know that Victor Henry has pace and, like, decent takedown defense and somewhat decent boxing. So maybe a couple things come together and we get an interesting fight. But eventually I think that Henry's cardio is going to take over, and Hani Yahya is real old. Your thoughts on this one, Sean?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think if you're looking to play Yahya, you take him, you know, plus 100 in round one, or take him by sub, because at plus 600, because I have a hard time seeing him win 15 rounds when put against the striking and pace of Victor Henry.
15 rounds would be very tough.
15 minutes, sorry. I think we got a little bit too high, obviously, on Victor Henry after the Barcelos win, and Sun Tiao kind of just snuffed that out. He's looked all right since. I think I'm going to convince myself to take the under 2.5 in this one. It's plus 115. I think Hani Yahya's only path to victory is to grab a sub and probably fairly early on. And if he doesn't, I think Victor Henry's volume is just going to wear him out. I know in the past, for the most part, Yahya's been pretty durable. Obviously got smoked out last time against a guy with pretty big power. I don't think Henry has that power. It's going to be more of a volume play. But I do think it'll be enough to get Yahya out of there late.
Hey, if you're going to make a play based on volume, probably not a bad idea to target a 39-year-old bantamweight who hasn't fought in a year, coming off a knockout, who historically gasses incredibly hard. So I don't hate it. Maybe if we get some decent prices on the Henry round three props, that could be worth a look. But I don't think that under.
Did you see what the price? Six.
No. Six. 600.
Okay. Yeah, they know. We'll see. They know.
I mean, Mason knows. We'll see if the rest of the books know when they open. I'm sure you can find something decent on the Cambies or FanDuel. Probably be good for a semi-decent price there. But we will see. Anyway, we are going to continue on to the welterweight division. The doctor is in. Uros Medic taking on the dirt. Do you think Uros Medic was a prison doctor? Because the Dirty Bird was in jail. And that's why he's like 40 with a lot of fights. But he's not like 40 like Hani Yahya's 39 at bantamweight. Timmy's been holding up all right. I know there's a couple pretty decent losses in there. Like, you know, pretty emphatic losses, I should say. But for the most part, not looking too bad, the old Dirty Bird. Thoughts, Sean?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, that it's not great when you lose three in a row, but against the guys he was fighting, and you know, the split decision, I think probably could have went his way. It's not as bad as it looks. I had kind of written him off, and he absolutely tuned up Andre Fiallo. That's nothing special, but Fiallo still does have some power. I think this number is wide. I know Medic, you know, he's got a bunch of wins. He got outgrappled like insanely badly against the dentist last time, old Oral B. I think Tim Means can mix up the striking and the grappling and make this a closer fight. I think he can kind of push it to the distance, and then, you know, we'll see what Medic looks like in the third and stuff like that, because he's obviously had a ton of finishes early in his career. I don't know if he's been pushed that hard, and Means, if his durability can stand up against Medic, then I think that's going to get tested. So I'm taking Tim Means. It's like plus 260. I think that's worth a shot. If he just gets absolutely smoked, I'll take it, but I think he's got a good chance to make this a close fight.
Yeah, I also feel like, first of all, Medic is a former lightweight. I know he's been up at welterweight for 2-3 fights at this point. He's still usually the bigger, longer fighter in most of his fights. He's not going to be that in this fight. Like, Timmins a very long welterweight, which I think could give Medic some troubles in this fight. I don't know exactly what the reach differential is, and for some reason we're in 2024 and we still don't accurately measure like leg reach or anything like that, which is a massive part of MMA. I just think that aside from the hard left kicks to the body and sometimes to the head, there's not a lot to Medic's game. I think Means can navigate that. He can kind of drag this into a war, and I trust him even at 40 years old a whole lot longer than I trust Medic. So we're going to take a little shot on old Tim Means here. And this card is so bad that Tim Means at plus 260 is going to be the consensus bet of the week. Feeling great about it. Also, fun fact, Haniyaya or Raniyaya and Tony Yeo, best friends.
Ooh.
Nobody. Anyway, that's Tim Means. Consensus bet of the week. Featherweight division up next. We got JSP. The shine, I guess, is a little bit off. But no shame in a loss to Joanderson Brito last time around. And he is taking on David Onama. And man, I hope that James Krause is somewhere with a massive bet on this fight. Sean?
Oh, I'm sure he is. He has a big one somehow. He's got to get that money back, man. Yeah, like I know some people have been kind of shitting on Pierce and saying he never was good. Brito's good. He's got fucking power. He's got good grappling. Like good. He was good. I know Pierce, some of his wins haven't really, aged very well, but I still think his style, his game, his grappling is going to be too much. He could get caught early. That is obviously a big question mark. Onama's good early, throws one down the pipe and cracks him. But if he does, then I think he's just gonna absolutely wear out Onama. He's gonna be struggling late in the second and in the third of this fight. I'll probably be parlaying JSP. I might look at him like round three. I don't know what that is.
Currently $800.
Not amazing. You usually like to see four digits on those round Absolutely. Props, so I'll probably stay away there, but I do think Pierce takes over late and gets him out of there.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this dynamic is similar to the Machete and Gabriel Benitez fight, except that obviously JSP is a much more dedicated grappler than Gabriel Benitez is, but he gets melted early or he's going to just drag Onama through it. And this one seems priced a whole lot more accurately for how this fight could most likely play out. I mean, if you're really interested in Onama, I'm sure there's probably a decent round one price out there. Upwards of 500, it looks like. So that probably what happens, because if it doesn't, we've seen him tire in the past, and we've also seen him take a lot of damage. So wouldn't be shocked if JSP puts a beating on him in the later rounds of this fight. My pick will be JSP. I don't know that I can find my way to betting him, mostly just because I've been kind of avoiding parlays lately, and I'm not going to lay minus 170 on a dude straight. So maybe. Well, that could be, if we get real desperate for bets, that could be like a cross-sport parlay, or I'll find something dumb on one of these UFC fights to put him in there. But I do like JSP to get the win. And don't worry, folks, in case you were concerned that the heavyweight fight was on the prelims, there wasn't going to be one on the main card, we do have a couple of nameless, faceless, fat dudes on the main card for you. Jonata Deniz, allegedly a kickboxer, taking on Austin Lane, allegedly a football player slash fighter. Sean.
You would think that a kickboxer would have a little better striking defense. He got hit a shit ton in his contender series fight until he obviously got the job done. Is that going to matter here? I don't know. Austin Lane seems very bad, but this is seems like it's pretty low level heavyweights. I'll pick Austin Lane. He's plus 210. I think this is just going to be a stupid fight, and somebody's going to get hit. Somebody's going to fall down. I'll pick that it maybe happens to be Deniz going down.
Can't make it a real bet.
No.
Because have you seen either of these guys?
Yeah.
But this is where we could get into some fatties territory. You got over 1.5 at plus 215. I think there's a better candidate still to come. Mm-hmm. But maybe if I'm looking for a fourth leg to close out that absolutely absurd round robin that I'm looking at, this could be it. I don't really have thoughts on the fight. It's two heavyweights who are not good. Deniz probably wins based on seeming like he's more durable. Lane is very football player-esque in that he doesn't seem to like getting punched. Tends to be a trend with those guys that come over. And as Jeff points out in the chat, he did lose to a Tafa. like, almost twice. I know one of them doesn't count, but it's not a good look. At least, I think that would... I don't know if there is a better Tafa at this point, but I think if there is a better one, it's Justin. So at least he can take some solace in that. But just... Ugh, gross stuff on the main card. And to get that off your palate, we're going to move to the women's flyweight division for a showdown between Karin Silva and Ariane Lipski. Now, Sean, big fight here. Are they both ranked?
Ooh.
I actually don't think either of them are ranked, but...
I don't think so.
Oh, no, they are both 12 and 13. This is you got ranked flyweights on the card here. Just
Jesus.
UFC is bringing it all our way. It's high-level stuff. What do you got here?
Not much. I'm honestly surprised that Silva's not a bigger favorite, just because seems like people are hyping up. She does get a bunch of finishes. Yeah, People doubting her future champ after she gets one win. I don't think Arianna Lipsky is good. Like, I don't know how the fuck, I don't know what happened to JJ Aldrich that night. Somehow she just did not show up.
She's also not good. So
she's also not good, but that's just wild for her to lose to somebody this low level. I know she's won three straight now. Gatto and O'Neil, not good. Silva's probably gonna force grappling. Somebody's gonna get a finish. It's probably gonna be Silva. Under 2.5 is -150. It's getting bad. I'm parlaying a women's under. What are we doing here, Brad? But that is what I'm gonna do. Somebody is gonna catch a sub, and I'll pick Silva to be the one.
I know you may not have these lines available, but the ends in sub when that opens.
Wow, I'm waiting for that. Where's
that? Yeah, that could be an interesting one. Lipsky has a couple subs, but she gets subs by accident, it feels like. Like that knee bar that she got back in the day against
Carolina. She fell backwards with it in her arm.
She was like, oh, there's a leg here.
I guess I'll do this.
The arm bar, what was that, her last fight or two fights ago? Hard to keep track anymore. Last fight against Casey O'Neill. I guess that was more impressive, but King Casey had that coming for being a horrible nickname thief. So, terrible. Yeah, that was just karma. Can't really attribute that to anything. I think Silva gets it done. Now that I'm starting to picture it, I'm not sure that it's necessarily a sub.
Oh, no.
Because Lipsky does like to give up her back and just get ground and pounded all to hell when she gets dominated in grappling. So that's a possibility as well. But definitely leaning Karin Silva in this one. And I think you're right. Like, if you're looking for something to parlay and you're desperate, this does seem a little short to me. So we'll see. Maybe I'm buying into the future hype champ. Or the future champ hype a little too much on this one. Co-main event time. Light heavyweight division. Ryan Spann. And Estonian Bogdan Guskov, which translates to Anthony Smith. He's Uzbekistan. Yep. He's an Uzbek, as it were. So that's the language it translates from to Anthony Smith. But same dude, different drugs. Let's go, Sean.
Yeah, this would be the bath salts, Anthony Smith. It's wild to see an over 1.5 at like +215. I don't think it happens two times in a row to Ryan Spann. Somehow that went to decision with the actual Anthony Smith. Bogdan's went over 1.5 one time in his 18 fight career. Yeah. I have a hard time seeing that happening. So I guess that's just, I don't know who the fuck is parlaying that, but props to them. I think you look at, fight ends in round one. Is fight ends in round one like juiced? It probably is if 1.5 is that juiced.
Let me take a look.
I don't know if that's out yet though. Well, not on the site that I'm looking at anyway. Yeah, because Spann round one is +125. Guskov is +280. So I don't know. I think you take the guy that's a bigger number in round one, and that would be Guskov. So I'll pick him to knockout Ryan Spann.
And does he have any subs? Yeah, he's got allegedly two. He has two allegedly subs on his record. One was a triangle in round two. That Come seems on, like man. It would have been hilarious to watch.
Come on, this guy putting somebody in a triangle in round two of a fight.
And the other one just says choke. I would have to flip over to Sherdog to get the actual
the RNC. The RNC.
Okay. Yeah, I maybe. I don't know. Like it's dumb, fun. Famously, there was absolutely no damage in that Spann and Smith fight, and it just coasted over, no sweat at all. But I think that any fight with this orc-looking motherfucker, Guskov, is probably going to end quickly. Whether it's him landing or him getting landed on in some capacity, I really wish that I could have faith in either this fight or the Lane Denise fight to go over 1.5, because this card deserves something like that, but I really, really don't want to get there. That just feels like placing a losing bet for the sake of the brand, which we've done before, we'll do again. I just don't know that we're going to do it this weekend. And finally, we got here quickly, Sean, relatively quickly. Main event, an actual good fight. Not a main event, but good fight nonetheless. Flyweights, Mateus Nicolau, Alex Perez, 5 rounds, or until one of Alex Perez's limbs falls off. Sean.
As with all Alex Perez fights, there is a less than 50% chance of this actually happening, so... we've got to put that disclaimer out there now.
I can't wait for the Ryan Spann Bogdan Guskov main event. I hope they make it 5 rounds.
ESPN, baby. I think we all backed Alex Perez last time out against Makhachev. That fight was there for him. He just had no volume. And I'm sure some of that, of course, if he's worried about the takedown, but he had spots there where he could have thrown some shit in the third round and he just couldn't. Asking this guy to fight two fights in less than 2 months when this guy never fights and he has an absolutely broken body, I guarantee you he's not coming in 100% healthy. I'm just going to assume that Nicolau is going to break down this guy. Perez does have skills, but Nicolau, you know, I think he's a pretty damn good fighter, and he's got good offensive grappling when he needs to use it, and he's got good striking and power. So Perez could catch him early, I guess, but if that doesn't happen, I think Nicolau kind of takes over, wears him down, and eventually gets a finish in, you know, the third or the fourth. So I was looking at the under 4.5. It's like -135, it looks like. I don't think that's a bad spot. Perez has some finishing ability. He did when he was...
Nicolau's a bit chinny.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bit chinny. And when... Before Alex Perez's body was falling apart, he actually had pretty good amount of finishes for a flyweight. Nicolau was obviously chinny, and he's got some good power himself. So 5 rounds, I think it's got to happen. And... I think Nicolau's the one to do it.
Yeah, I was on Perez in the last fight against Mukhachev and absolutely just screaming at my TV for him to do anything for long, long stretches of that fight. And he didn't even go to the calf kicks. I don't know if that was... He was worried about the takedowns that he was very easily defending, or he was worried about leg injury or what it was, but did not pull the trigger. And he could be entering that stage of his career where he's not the I'm chinny and I'm going to get dropped by whatever lands on me washed, but he might be the I can't pull the trigger anymore because I either don't have any confidence or don't trust my body to hold up through a fight kind of washed. So it's real tough to back Alex Perez at this point. We know, like, I backed him in the Mukhaev fight because I thought that was a pretty good matchup for him. He's still a good wrestler, and Mukhaev has nothing but wrestling. So that one made sense to me. Here, I think if they just chill out on the feet, that Nicolau is going to stay busier. He's going to land more and eventually get the win. As you said, Perez is liable to fall apart at any point, and there could be a stoppage here. Nicolau has been a bit chinny. I mean, even his last loss was a TKO against Ravel. So, like, you know, I didn't think he was chinny in that particular loss. But some of the stuff that's landed on before has given me a bit of pause, which is really the only hope I see for Perez here. So maybe we end up on Nicolau Pierce as a parlay or something like that, just to get a little bit more action on the card. But Matias Nicolau will be the pick in the main event. Sean, that does it for the fights. But LR is going off here in the chat. He's saying the Bruins are going to blow it. They're currently up 2-1.
First it was the Leafs are going to blow it, I thought.
No. He said the Leafs are going to eliminate
the Bruins. He said the Leafs are going to knock them off. And
and then the Bruins almost immediately scored. Yep. Bruins currently up 2-1. Series tied 1-1 to set the scene reference for what we're talking about here. Leafs obviously going to blow home ice advantage in their first game at home, because that's what they do. And I absolutely do not see this being the Leafs' year. That is not in the Magic 8. If you shook a Magic 8 ball a million times, you're like, is this the Leafs' year? There's no chance you're going to get a positive answer on that. Sean's Oilers, on the other hand, the sea in the Western Conference is parting. It's like Moses is over there.
Getting some help. Definitely getting some help. And you, basically, any team, unless you're just an absolute powerhouse, and usually sometimes those teams don't even make it through, but usually there's a decent amount of luck involved in getting to or winning the Stanley Cup. So I will take it, and we need to make sure we don't coast on that and just damp this shit out.
Yeah. So what's your finals pick?
I'm going to go a rematch of 2006. I can't remember.
Oh, my.
Yes. 2006. Oilers versus the Carolina Hurricanes.
Ooh. All right.
We get revenge this time. And hopefully before game 7, because that was brutal.
That would have been a tough watch, I can imagine. Yeah. I'm going to say we're going to stick with the Oilers. The Oilers are the one team that I had a bet on preseason. So, you know, I can't go back on that at this point. And I'm going to say that the Florida Panthers make it out of the East again, just like last year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That would be a fun final, I think. But yeah, the cup playoffs, always fun. The NBA, even the NBA playoffs, the first round for decades has been, aside from like your Golden State upsetting Dallas, I think that was also 2006 maybe, it's usually awful. But the first round actually has a little bit of intrigue this year. We're getting some fun matchups. Storyline wise, some teams that underperformed in the regular season that are lower seeds. So both sets of playoffs delivering so far. The Caps, Jeff, I feel like, are you the one that said that that you were a little bitter about the Caps knocking out the Pens?
The Penguins? Penguins or the Wings? I think it was the Penguins.
Both, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are all Carberry, so we got to stick with our boy on that. Although votes have been collected at this point. We're just waiting to hear. I kind of wish they did it like the NBA does, where they announce the winners throughout the playoffs instead of waiting until like way after.
Nobody gives a shit. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. But to me, this is absolutely the best time of year for sports. Football fans can shove it. Puck playoffs, hoop playoffs. For me and like three other people, lacrosse playoffs. Wow. Yeah. NCAA lacrosse is getting into conference tournaments. It's just, it's a wonderful time. Even
sir.
Sean cares about NCAA lacrosse now. Because money. That's the only reason.
Because money.
But I think that does it. That covers much more than deserved to be covered tonight.
Definitely.
We'll be back next week.
Real one?
Yeah. There's fights and fighters that we've heard of. Not necessarily the greatest pay-per-view. But we'll be back to break it down. We'll make it fun. Jose Aldo, back from the dead. We'll see you next week.